Father, thank you for that little bit of the Bible. Thank you for those little stories that Jesus told. We pray that you help us to understand why they're important and what they mean. And we pray that you help us to understand what Jesus wants us to understand from them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Terry Herbert is a POM who used to make a living making coffins. Terry bought himself an old metal detector for about $5. And for a bit of relaxation, he used to go wandering around with it in the countryside of Staffordshire in England. And one day he wandered into a mate's field with his metal detector and it went off. Normally that meant he'd found some little bit of old farm junk. But this time, when he dug around and he picked up the object and he cleaned it off, he discovered that whatever he was holding in his fingers was made of gold. And he hunted around a bit more and he found some more items made of gold. And he kept digging. Buried in this field, in the end, Terry had found a hoard of treasure that had belonged to an Anglo-Saxon king that had been buried there for over 1,000 years. And in the end, he pulled out 244 bags of precious metal and jewels. It ended up being worth to close to $5 million. It had laid hidden in the dirt, buried in that field for 1,300 years. Imagine you were the guy who stumbled across it. Imagine you were the one who knew that it was there. And imagine that that afternoon you saw a for sale sign go up on the farm that this field was part of. What do you think your next move might be? What are you going to do? I heard it. You're going to buy the field. I think Jesus would take great delight in this true story about Terry and his treasure. I think he would take great delight in it because it sounds a lot like a real life example of that little story that Jesus made up one day to try and teach us something very important. Maddie read Jesus' story for us from the Bible. Of course, it's actually two little stories, both teaching the same basic point. First, Jesus gets us to imagine someone like Terry who finds a treasure in a field, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. The treasure in the field is so precious that the man who finds it is willing to give up everything else he has to hold on to that treasure. He absolutely does not want to miss out on this treasure." And then Jesus says, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. The merchant finds a pearl that is more precious, more beautiful than any other pearl he's ever seen in his whole life, and so he is willing to give up everything he has to get hold of this pearl. He absolutely does not want to miss out on this pearl." Jesus is trying to teach us that being part of the kingdom of heaven, being part of God's kingdom, is the most special thing that there is. Jesus is teaching us that being part of the kingdom of heaven, that is more valuable, that is more precious, that is more special than anything else. There's nothing we can own that is more precious than being part of the kingdom of heaven. There is no experience we can have that is more special than being part of the kingdom of heaven. It sounds, this whole kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven thing Jesus is talking about, it sounds pretty special. But do you know what it makes me go? What is it? What is the kingdom of heaven? To be in the kingdom of heaven is to have Jesus as my King. God raised Jesus from the dead and he set him up to be King over all things. God is leading all of history to a day when it will be obvious to everybody that Jesus is more powerful than every force up to and including death. Jesus is more powerful than every force in the universe. It will be obvious because on that day, every force, every power, every person who refuses to recognize him as king will be thrown down. That Jesus is God's great king, it's not obvious to everybody today, but it's still true today. Jesus is God's risen king. And I'm part of the kingdom of heaven when I'm someone who loves and trusts Jesus as my risen king. I'm part of the kingdom of heaven when he looks on me as one of his people, when he looks at me as somebody who's been connected to him. And Jesus tells these little stories to try and help us see that if we have Jesus as our King, then we have something very special, something very precious, more precious than anything else in the universe. You go, how come? What's so precious and special about having Jesus as your King? And that's a very, very important question. Because we can be a bit like the people who must have trampled over the field day after day, completely missing the precious treasure that was buried under their feet. They missed out. We can misunderstand Jesus' message of the kingdom. And we can think it's all about tedious rules that take all the fun out of life. And that can mean, that misunderstanding can mean we don't understand how precious it is. Or we can imagine that because Jesus' message of the kingdom, it's really, really old, it's ancient, and so it can't be very valuable to us today. And that misunderstanding means we can miss how precious it is. Or let's be frank, we live in a pretty nice part of a pretty nice city. We have lots of things. We live in nice houses and we drive nice cars and we have a nice climate. It's the middle of winter. Look at the sun shining. We have this beautiful climate. We have nice places to visit. All of that means we can have, sometimes we can have trouble imagining that God could offer us anything that was more perfect than the life we already have. What's so precious and special about having Jesus as your King? Well, I could spend days and days talking about that, but let me just tell you some of the highlights. Firstly, because Jesus is God's great King, he is the King who knows what we really need, and he gives us what we really need. Jesus sees much more clearly than we do what it is that we really need. I read an interview with a famous author who had devoted his life to getting what lots of people think we really need. You know, he got fame, he got respect, he got wealth. He thought that's what we really need. He thought that's what the good life consists of, and lots of people think that. And in the article, the interviewer acknowledged, yes, this author, he was a guy who had made it to the top. He had fame. He had respect, he had wealth. He had made it all the way to the top. And the interviewer asked him, if you could go back in time and if you could share one piece of wisdom with yourself as a young man, you know, a young guy just starting out in life, what piece of wisdom would you share? And do you know what he said? His answer was, I would tell myself that when you climb to the top, there's nothing there. Sadly, we can spend a lifetime making that mistake if we reject the reality that Jesus sees much more clearly what we need than we do. And if we're part of his kingdom, he gives us what we need. He gives us forgiveness for all those things that we need forgiving for. There's no person in this room of any age who doesn't need divine forgiveness. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of his death on the cross, Jesus brings us the divine forgiveness for all that we need to be forgiven for. He wipes the slate completely clean from God's perspective. He wipes it clean regardless of how shameful the things drawn and written on it might have been. And he brings us connection with the God who made us. When we're part of God's kingdom, we're never alone. We're never unloved. There's this beautiful image in Psalm 23 that begins, you know, the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's this image, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When Jesus is my King, I am connected to my Maker. He knows me like nobody else knows me. He sees my faults, he sees my evils like nobody else in the world sees them, and he continues to love me, and he continues to be with me, and he continues to be for me. When Jesus is my King, he leads me in wise and good paths in life. Jesus' resurrection shows that he is stronger than any force in the universe, up to and including death itself. There is no one as strong as Jesus, but there is also no one as wise as Jesus. Jesus knows what life is for. He knows how human life was designed to be lived. And so his command, when he issues commands, and he does issue his commands, every king does, his commands, they're not sort of arbitrary, fun-destroying burdens. They're directions on how life is best lived from the guy who was involved in designing and creating human life in the first place. They only ever look like arbitrary, fun-destroying burdens because, well, our perspective is much more limited and skewed and misaligned than his is. And as we trust him and as we listen to him and as we follow his commands, that's something that we learn from experience. He knows what he's talking about. When we're part of the kingdom of heaven, the King sets us on a new path in life, and it's a better path. And of course, the other thing about that new life is it's an eternal life. If I'm part of the kingdom of God, there's a day coming when I will share in the resurrection life that my King lives now. The very final pages of the Bible talk about a day when there will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. A day of resurrection to a life that will never, ever again be scarred by pain or by hurt or by death. A new life where my heart will only ever be pure and where I'll never hurt anybody ever again and where nobody will ever hurt me ever again. A new life where every single day will be a blessing and a joy. To be part of the kingdom of heaven is very precious for life now, and it will continue to be precious for life for all eternity. And the final thing I want to ask today is, how do you buy this precious kingdom of heaven? You know, like the guy bought the field and the merchant bought the pearl. What's it going to cost me? Well, if you keep reading the things that Jesus taught, it soon becomes obvious that none of us have enough money to buy our way into the kingdom of heaven. None of us have anything that we can trade for the kingdom of heaven. None of us have anything that we can use as a ticket into the kingdom of heaven. We discover that somebody else has to pay the price that has to be paid so that I can be part of the kingdom of heaven. And do you know who pays the price? Yeah, the King does. Jesus does. It's a very high price. He pays the price at the cross with his death in the place of sinners, in our place. And what we have to do is we have to trust him, we have to love him, we have to follow the King who pays the price so that we can enter the kingdom. Do you trust him and do you love him? I guess that's the question for today. The kids have been thinking about it all week. Do you trust him? Do you love him? Are you following him? Because if you will, then you will discover a treasure of very great value. And if you are doing that, then you possess a treasure of very great value. How about we pray and thank God for that? Father, your word tells us this isn't a treasure that we deserved. None of us deserve the kingdom of heaven. None of us are worthy of the kingdom of heaven. None of us have what it takes to impress you so that you go, oh, I must let them into the kingdom of heaven. But you sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be part of this precious kingdom. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you give us the faith and the love and the obedience that king deserves. And Father, we pray as we do, we discover how precious that treasure is. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.